When you say that you're in talent acquisition, what does that actually mean?
Basically, I do recruiting. Okay, I manage the recruiting team here in Argentina for it's a local company, but it has franchises all over Latin America, from here to Mexico, and even one in Miami. So I manage recruiting for our local corporate office, and then I also help and push and give all the training and resources that the different franchises need in order to recruit their teams as well, because they're entrepreneurs. And they need to learn a lot about this.
Well, I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today, Pablo, because frankly, I'm not exactly sure how you stumbled upon the whole nonfiction brand Versity thing. So I wanted to ask you those questions.
Okay, good.
But I also wanted to ask you specifically about what you just described, talent acquisition, because in my mind, the idea of personal branding or branding yourself is really, really important for professionals who want to put their career path kind of on steroids or to really have it take off in a big way. But I'm not an HR professional. I'm not a talent acquisition specialist. Whatever I suspect may not be true. And that's why I wanted to talk to you. The other part of it is, by the way, everybody listening to the podcast, I'm talking to Pablo Killian, who is located in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and is a active member of Nonfiction Brand Versity. And, you know, we've had multiple conversations via the comments section of LinkedIn. And I'm really excited to talk to you today because we in America, we talk to ourselves a whole lot, but we don't always do a great deal of listening to those in other parts of the world. And I really want to ask some questions and hear what you have to say about it. So,
absolutely.
First, can you give us a little bit of overview of you, your career, what you do, where you do it, how you do it?
Okay, good. Yeah, and part of my career and some of the changes in my career have to do with this, me stumbling upon the podcast and being involved also in what everything that has to do with personal branding and marketing in a way, and mixing marketing and HR and talent acquisition. I originally studied marketing. Right. I started working not directly in marketing, but a lot in sales in small companies. Then I started working for an American company, for Teletech, which is a company based in Denver. It's a BPO company, closer to the company. That industry had a kind of a boom because of exchange rates and that kind of stuff. I started working in that company. I was there for 9 years. And in the middle of my career there, I went from the operations side, managing the really, really big teams. And that's how I kind of got involved with HR, right? When you're managing such big teams, HR is not always available to give you all the support you have. Then the opportunity came to move to the HR side when the company was opening up an HR shared service center in Buenos Aires to help the whole company. The main team there was doing talent acquisition, recruiting, and helping the recruiting teams and HR teams on different sites for Teletech in different countries, moving and developing their recruiting teams. And so that was kind of my jump from kind of marketing, sales, operations to the HR side.
That's really interesting because you've got kind of a unique background. So you truly can talk about branding and how it affects personnel or individuals in a really meaningful way because you're in the trenches finding people for positions. And I've always had this kind of working idea that if I had two resumes on my desk and they're both equally good, but one person is actively demonstrating their use of LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook and other channels in a positive way that reflects not only well on them, but also on the company they're working for. To me, that's kind of like a deal maker, not a deal breaker. It's like, okay, of these two candidates, one person is clearly showing a digital savvy. That person to me is more valuable. Do you find that to be true in the space that you're working in?
Not always. And that has to do with a lot of things. First, on one side, that could be true. That makes an impact in the kind of work that the person is going to be doing. That's a plus, obviously. But then obviously you have to know the person, right? You got to meet them. And sometimes we say that a CV is a very poor presentation of a person, right? Of all the capabilities that they have. And then it also depends. We at least from my experience, I need to touch and I work with a lot of different, very different markets. Okay, I work with the whole Latin America. So, and every country is very, very different and very unique in a lot of ways. So I kind of apply that kind of analysis everywhere, right? I might be looking for the way they interact in social media, but it's not that common in their country or their industry also. Industry has a lot to do with that, right? Mm-hmm. The age of a person has a lot to do with that as well, right?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Well, I'm looking at your chin and my chin at the same time, and I'm seeing more than a few white whiskers there. So the fact that both of us are talking to each other via technology and also communicating on a regular basis via social media perhaps belies our age a little bit, because we should be saying, I don't do that, instead of embracing it the way that I've certainly seen you do. And frankly, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you as well, is because I see you engaging a lot in what I would call United States-based conversations on LinkedIn. You insert yourself in a very friendly, open way on purpose. You know, because sometimes I think that there's separate conversations going on depending on not only what language you speak, but what country you're in or what hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're able to bridge that, I think, is really important and certainly very interesting to me. And again, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you on the podcast. Can you talk to me about your strategy in doing that? Why do you do that?
Basically, I think one of my English is a little bit rusty.
it's better than my Spanish.
I think one of my traits basically is that I'm always learning, right? I'm a constant and eternal learner. I consider myself a teacher as well. So one of the things that I like to do, I see the US-based and the UK-based markets as places where I can learn, where I can take a lot of information, right? Well, things are happening, and they usually happen before they happen here in Latin America. So that's how I see that. That's where I'm kind of taking all that information in and planning to kind of translate in the literal way to Spanish by teaching all that in our market, right? That's kind of what I'm doing, why I'm inserting myself there and trying to get seen and having this conversations and learning from all you guys.
Well, and we're hopefully learning and paying attention to other people as well. I'm literally at March the 20th, whatever that week is. I'm heading to San Diego for Social Media Marketing World. And last year, just standing in line, I happened to meet two people who were talking to each other, one from New Zealand, the other from Chile. And instantly I'm learning incredibly new, different points of view. And I get so excited about that, because personally, I get a little tired of I think of them as guru wannabes, the people who are always trying to tell you to follow your bliss or be passionate. It's like you've got combinations of Gary Vaynerchuk wannabes and other people who, they just don't do it for me. I love meeting real people who are really doing it. And also hearing about how people are doing it a whole lot differently. Mm-hmm. And I can only assume that things are different in Buenos Aires compared to the United States. I mean, can you talk about the typical set of social media channels that a business professional would be considered to be active on in Buenos Aires?
Yeah, that doesn't change a lot. I would say it's obviously LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, right? Those would be the main ones. LinkedIn is kind of taking off as it's taking off in every other place in the world. Still very very formal, more formal, I would say, that in the U.S. That's changing, right? With all this is not Facebook and that kind of stuff, and conversations being lighter around LinkedIn. That's starting to happen, but still much more formal, right? Latin America in general is still very formal in terms of what has to do with business, right? Like separating what's business and what is not business. So I would say that Facebook and LinkedIn, they have that separation around the world, but here I would say it's deeper, right?
Right, and that's kind of a cultural thing. It's not just standard business practice, but it's actually core to the culture, that kind of when you're home, you're home. When you're at work, and there's a pretty sharp divide between the two. Is that right?
Yeah. You have a bit of everything, right? You still have that mix, and the work-life balance is also a conversation, and work from home and that kind of stuff. That's very, that's seen a lot in a lot of companies, because we have a lot of multinational companies here. So you have a really good mix of that, right? But when you see a very local companies, right? Argentinian, very Latin American companies, that's more evident.
Why did you get as heavily involved? I mean, obviously you talked about learning and you're engaging with North Americans in a pretty aggressive way. In a, I don't want to say not aggressive, that's not the word, in an active way, just in a really friendly, active way. How did you stumble on the whole Nonfiction Brandversity, the Nonfiction Brand podcast? Where, how did that connection get connected?
You mentioned it before, and I just started trying to remember. I for sure that the first place where I heard you was in the on the previous podcast, in the Rotoma podcast.
Yes.
Okay. So I think that was the first place, and somehow through that, or I think it was through LinkedIn, that I learned, like, following you or searching for you or seeing all these people connecting, that you obviously with your profile, and that you had this other new podcast going on, right? And I found it really interesting because of this combination of my background and my profession, right? Right. Marketing and talent acquisition.
Well, that does my heart really, really good, because, you know, you put a ton of time creating a book. It's like birthing a baby. You give birth to that baby. There's a lot of pain involved, a lot of tears, and then joy. And then that baby kind of goes off and does its own thing. And you don't always know if it's getting traction out there. So when all of a sudden someone finally pays attention from Argentina or another country overseas, I get very excited about that, because, you know, sometimes you just think you're casting things out into the void, never to be seen again. It's like the Voyager spacecraft that they put the gold record on, and you hope someday that there's an alien out there that has a turntable that can actually play the thing. So I'm glad that you're the alien in Argentina that has the turntable.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Are you actively seeking to brand yourself within the professional space?
Yeah, that's something that I'm kind of in that breaking moment, right? That turning moment in terms of my career, and trying to start branding myself as myself and not just being part of a company, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in the middle of that situation right now.
I'm a big believer, as you've heard me say over and over again, that a couple of things: if you don't own it, it's not yours. The job you have today may be gone tomorrow.
Absolutely.
But you will always be around. Therefore, if the value you create for yourself via personal branding, via active engagement in social media, things like that, that's going to come back to you. It's very much like you put in the work, you don't know if anyone's going to see it until they find out, oh, you're available. And they say, oh, great, I've been wanting to talk to you forever. It's like, well, how did you even hear me? Well, because I've been following you on LinkedIn, or I've seen you on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else. Because the worst thing you can do is be silent, or be the engine in the back room that no one ever sees. If you're that engine, here's the thing about engines: they can be unbolted and replaced by a new one at any time, and no one even knows you're gone. That's a terrible situation, and that's why I think personal branding is so big. Is the idea of personal branding active in your area of Latin America?
Yes, but not as big as it's the U.S. market or the European market, right? It's kind of just starting. And that's where I see a great opportunity, right?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Because social media has a great penetration in Latin America and Argentina mainly. We have a very big neighbor, which is Brazil. We have a different language, right? That's kind of a barrier, but still a very big market. But the whole, when I see my brands, when I think of starting to grow my brand and the kind of stuff, I have to think of the whole Latin America, right, map. That's how I see it. It's like, I always compare that, like, for you guys, when you see the whole U.S. map, that's a big market, right? And you have a lot to do right in there. For us, like, Argentina has 40 million people here. So that's kind of a smaller market. So when you think about that, you need to kind of open your mind and see the whole Latin American market as a chance, right? And that's where I see the great opportunity. And that's what I'm thinking and what I'm planning when I say I'm learning from you. I'm seeing what's going on, where the waves normally start moving, and then they reach here. They reach here sometimes with some changes, and considering what's different and culturally what changes, but they always get here.
Yeah, and if you're on that surfboard on the leading edge of that wave, you can be the expert that's turning around and introducing everybody else to this whole new thing. And I'm going to guess that Latin America is just like the United States of America, which is, if you're local, you're not as cool as if you're from someplace else. So I'm right in the upper Midwest of the United States in Wisconsin. You know, I like to say Wisconsin's like Tatooine from the Star Wars film.
I heard that. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's that dusty planet, you know. But it's very cool and there's a lot of great stuff going on here. But it's not New York. It's not Los Angeles. It's not Seattle. It's not Austin, Texas, which are all really cool places. So there's this perception, perhaps, among some people that I might not have as much to say as someone who lives in New York or any of those other places. However, if I can introduce myself to other people in other countries or districts, states, regions, I could be a lot cooler or more interesting than someone who's homegrown and local. So,
absolutely.
Right, you're in Buenos Aires. If you were to go to Lima, you could be a renowned global expert when everybody in Buenos Aires just knows you as Pablo, the guy who's
absolutely. That's part of the thinking behind the strategy. Yeah, that's right.
I think that's brilliant because you basically could have that entire South America, Latin America, Central America as your sales area, especially from the point of view that you're a very good English speaker. So you have access to incredible people like, I'm guessing, well, let me ask you this. Who are the kind of big information sources that you're paying attention to? Can you give me some of the names of the people you follow the most?
So, well, now I would say it's Tim Ferriss. I've been following Tim for a long time, his podcast and blog. I listen not that much now, but I still listen quite. Gary Vee, I've been following him for quite a long time. Pat Flynn, that's another one. Who else? I know there's a lot.
Well, you hit some of the big ones. I didn't want to put the name in your head, but since you said it, someone like Pat Flynn is teaching us all how someone who, he was an architect, a trained architect.
Absolutely.
And he's become something a whole lot more by doing it himself. And I have mentioned Pat Flynn numerous times on the Rotoma podcast and on Nonfiction Brand. But I will say again that I'm going to echo your recommendation that Pat Flynn is absolutely great, because he's such a wonderful low-key giver. You know, you got Gary Vaynerchuk, who is just caffeinated. I mean, the caffeinated New Yorker, New Jersey guy, whatever, wherever he's from, is that can be a little much for people. But Pat Flynn is like your next-door neighbor who will always lend you their lawnmower and has great ideas and knows how you can do it faster, better, and cheaper and more effectively.
So
Pat Flynn's whole universe is kind of rotating around the central concept of smart passive income. So his podcast is the Smart Passive Income Podcast. His YouTube channel deals with a lot of the same things. But the cool thing that he's doing, have you seen his Switch Pod?
No, I heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So very briefly, this is mostly for people who want to do video very effectively. Pat Flynn does a lot of video. And he always had a problem in that he would have a quality camera like a Canon 70D to do video with a nice lens on it, high quality, all that stuff. And then he would tie it or, you know, attach it to a GorillaPod, which is a, you know, maybe a $60 flexible tripod thing. And the problem is when you put it down, you always have to rearrange the legs and try to get it level. And it's very, very picky and fiddly to deal with. And he was talking to a friend of his about the problem. And he said, there's got to be a better way. Well, he just created the better way. It's available via Kickstarter. It's called the Switch Pod. It looks killer. I think it's like $78, but imagine a tripod that you can hold as like a monopod in your hand that is a little bit away from your face so you get a better frame. And the second you open your hand, the legs kind of splay out and you can place it on the table without any adjustment whatsoever. It's so cool. Check out Pat Flynn's Switch Pod on Kickstarter. And if you're into video, you're going to want one of these things really, really badly. But that's just an example of how Pat Flynn works. I mean, I've listened to his podcast quite a bit, and he talks about how he was an architect. He was studying for the LEED certification program, which is a green building program. And to do that, he had to aggregate all this information to try to learn this stuff. And he realized, well, I'll just take this stuff I've aggregated and see if other architects might want it. Guess what? They did. He didn't write anything new or create anything majorly new about it, but he aggregated it all into one piece, making it very easy for people to engage with. And guess what? That was the start of what is now, I think, a pretty big universe of cool stuff that he's got going on. You know, so if you're listening to Pat Flynn, I know what kind of guy you are. And you're the kind of guy who's like, I don't want to settle. I don't want to be just plugging away at my job. I might have some ideas of that smart passive income and what that could do for me and my family. Am I hitting the...
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the kind of thinking that goes to my head, maybe too much sometimes, right? That's right. I'm not kind of easy or comfortable just being in my job and doing what I do in my job. I'm always thinking about doing something else, right? And I was nodding and laughing as well because I just came back from, we connected before my vacation. I said, okay, I'd be thrilled to be on the podcast, but I'm going on vacation right now. And during our vacation, I was trying and almost convinced my wife also on coming in on this kind of things. Mainly, she's an accountant, but she has, I know she has really great ways and methods that she created to do things on Excel and do things really, really fast. And I told her that's something that's teachable, right?
Right.
That can be turned into a course and that we can market through LinkedIn and other social media. So she was kind of, for the first time, she's always been very reluctant in terms of social media and all that kind of stuff, right? She's more like more number centric and that kind of thing. So, but she was paying more attention this time. So I think.
Does she speak English well?
Yes, she does more technical English. Not as good as I do because I've been doing it for a very, very long time.
The reason I say that is because I'm thinking that there's a podcast she might want to listen to by a woman named Amy Porterfield. Have you heard of her?
I know Amy as well, yeah. I was just listening to her when I was coming back from work today.
Yeah, because the thing I find about Amy Porterfield is that she's really friendly and open in a way that I think resonates with women quite a bit. Because there are a lot of hard sell male gurus out there, like the best or worst of them, if depending on your point of view, is Gary Vaynerchuk.
It's extreme, right?
Right. But there are a lot of guys who are kind of hard sell. Amy is just this love cell, just this really wonderful person. And again, anybody listening to the podcast who's interested in learning about online marketing, she knows her stuff. She used to work for Tony Robbins, for crying out loud. You know, what is he, 6'7" or something like that? Tony Robbins, the biggest inspirational speaker on the globe. And she was his digital director or something like that. You can learn a lot from Amy Porterfield. So that's another big recommendation. Well, that's interesting. So are you interested in maybe doing something together with your wife?
Yeah. So first I need to do my thing with this. I have so much information, so many things that I want to teach and recommend and have people do that they're not doing right now to promote themselves, to brand themselves, what I see every single day, right? When they're looking for a job. But also to make the small and big brands grow in social media. But definitely that's a thing that she was kind of hesitant of her being the face of it, right? Or promoting herself that because of her company role and that kind of thing. I was thinking maybe of creating some kind of, with her knowledge, some kind of course, right? But I know there has to be a person behind that, right? Because of everything you talk about and we talk about frequently. You need that personal contact. You need the person behind the brand. You need the person that created that. People want to connect with that person, not just a name and a course, right? So I will have to find a way for her to do that, appear in some way and to make it happen.
And that's why why I really enjoy listening to people like Pat Flynn and Amy Porterfield, because they plant the seeds that start growing. You can't help but listen to these people and get excited, because you're like, well, I can't do all of it, but I can do that. I'm going to do that for a while. And I think of it like going to an athletic gym and picking up the 1 pound weight, you know, the 1 kilogram is just, it weighs almost nothing, right? Well, you do that enough times, you can go to the 5 kilogram or the 5 pound. And then you get stronger and stronger, and you just keep going and adding on. And then one day you wake up and you go, holy moly, I've got an online course that is generating money for me and my family while I sleep. And that's the essence of Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income. So Pat Flynn, Smart Passive Income podcast, big recommendation. Amy Porterfield, Online Marketing Made Easy podcast, another big recommendation. And you had another one?
Yeah, someone that I also heard you talk about is Chris Ducker.
Oh yeah, Chris Ducker. He's actually a member of Nonfiction Brandversity, which is a good time for me to shill for Nonfiction Brandversity, the free Facebook group that's available to anybody who's interested in what we're talking about, which is building personal and small business brands so that you can boost your profile, attract customers, and actually convert sales down the road. But it all starts by getting off your butt and getting on your brand. And you can start by joining Nonfiction Brandversity. It's free. Just look it up on Facebook, ask to join, and you're in. Pablo, we're coming up to the end of a half hour, so it's time for us to kind of wrap up this first half of our 2 consecutive episodes. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thanks for everybody listening. And just remind everybody that I am DP Knutton, and he is
Pablo Killian from Buenos Aires.
And we're going to be back next week continuing our conversation about personal branding, Latin America, social media, and what's going on that's cool in Buenos Aires. So thanks for listening, everybody. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.